You are listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron, my guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, a slightly depressed Robert Walker. A slightly depressed Robert Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. While his Falcons may have lost the Super Bowl in inexplicable fashion on Sunday night, Rob is not here to talk about that. He is here to talk about happier things. Like Fernando Torres. And Fernando Torres. With some more Fernando Torres. Yes, El Nino was in vintage form Saturday, scoring a brace to help Atletico to victory over Leganés. Rob and I will talk all about that game. And we'll also discuss Barcelona and the second leg of the Copa del Rey semifinal at Camp Nou on Tuesday. That's coming up and more after this.
One, which is in and of itself a huge achievement. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just kind of resolved myself to avoiding the city of Atlanta for like the next 7 years.
Yeah, it's bad luck going there. I'm glad I don't actually live in the city of Atlanta. That would be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I have many friends who are. And yeah, so it's a little rough.
This would be a pretty rotten place to be right now.
Oh, yes. But, foul mood.
But let us not dwell on that nonsense. Yes. Let's move on to the La Liga whip around, as we always do. And this was an interesting round. Two games that were postponed.
Yes, because of heavy winds.
And most of the teams in these postponed games took their postponements well. One of them didn't.
No prizes for guessing which one.
Yeah. on Friday, the first postponement was Deportivo and Real Betis. Bad weather in Galicia means that one was postponed. So there was no Friday night game. On Saturday, we had Malaga and Espanyol. Espanyol notching a 1-0 win. They are climbing on up the table. Kike's troops are now hanging on the outskirts of the Europa League places.
Well, Malaga haven't won since November, so they're on a slide.
Yeah, I mean, they're still 9 points clear of the drop, but yeah, they've been pretty bad lately, which is really surprising because they're normally just so solid organizationally that they don't get rocked too often, but they're on a really bad run right now.
Absolutely, and sacking Juan de Ramos didn't end up working out too well for them.
No, and the new guy isn't either. Barcelona 3, Athletic Club 0. Pretty comfortable, easy win for Barcelona against a team that normally gives them a lot of problems. Pretty good tune-up for Tuesday, which of course we will get to a bit later in the program. On to Mestalla. Valencia 0, Eibar 4. And in this game, this was fun. The red card at the end of the first half for Carlos Soler made this a lot worse than it probably should have been, but Danny Garcia hitting arguably the goal of the season from that volley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Valencia had been on they had won two games in a row, so they may have thought they had found the answer to their problem, but they had not, so.
Yeah, if the answer is Mario Suarez, then your question is very complex.
Yeah, they're still playing Mangala, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You reap what you sow. On Sunday, a big result at the Sanchez-Pizjuan. Sevilla and Villarreal playing out a goalless draw. Second time those two managed that result this season. It's big for pretty much everyone else in the top six. Villarreal again failing to pick up a point. That's the fourth time in the last... failing to pick up a win. That's the fourth time in the last six that they have done that. And Sevilla now back-to-back games without a victory. And their grip on third place loosening a little bit.
Yes, which is certainly good to see. And Villarreal have a ton of draws this season.
That was their eighth draw. I think that... Alaves lead the league with 9 draws. So that was their eighth.
But in the top six, they're quite up there.
Yeah, you got to start winning these games, Villarreal. Sporting Gijon 2, Alaves 4. Alaves not known for scoring 4 goals in a game or a week or a month, but they've done it here against Sporting, who, you know, a little more entertaining, but not any better.
Yeah, they're on the way down, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely still on course to go down. 5 points separating them and 17th place. Entertaining game at Anoeta. Real Sociedad 3, Osasuna 2. Osasuna starting to score more goals, but still losing games. They are now dead last. Colista.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
And they actually took the lead in this game. They were leading at halftime, and Sociedad came back. And Sociedad picking up another win. They're in fifth. And the game earlier today, which is Monday, Granada starting that part of the season where they become world beaters. They beat Las Palmas 1-0 on Andres Pereira and a golazo from the Man United loanee.
Yeah, they need someone great to goal. Start inspiring them. That was a great goal.
Yeah, they're the Sunderland of La Liga. You watch. They're going to escape again.
Yeah, and push all the gains down there.
Yeah. Top six looks like that. Oh, we forgot to talk about the other postponed game, Celta Vigo and Real Madrid. Did you see the statement from Real Madrid about this postponement? It was Trumpian.
It was so salty.
It was incredible. If you haven't seen it, go find it. It basically blames Vigo's mayor for all the troubles in the world. It is incredible reading, and only Real Madrid could produce a statement like that. Kudos.
Yeah, the Donald Trump of La Liga. So
they've threatened to form the European Super League because of this game. Okay.
Yeah. It's incredible. Exactly.
It's simply incredible. Top six looks like this. Real Madrid still on top. They have two games in hand now, as the Vigo game was postponed. Barcelona in second. Despite having played two games more, they're only a point behind. Sevilla in third on 43 points. Atletico in fourth on 39. Real Sociedad on 38. Villarreal on 35 in sixth. Now, the one result of the game that was played we did not talk about. Atletico Madrid 2, Leganés 0. That is Atletico 2, Leganés 0. Two words for you, Rob. Fernando Torres.
Yes, and two other words is we won.
Yeah. Victory.
Oh, yeah. In fairness, it was a bit of a, somewhat of a consolation for a pretty terrible week.
This week started with the Lucas Hernandez news. He was arrested on Friday on suspicion of domestic abuse. The report came out today that the prosecutor wants a 7-month jail sentence for him. Seeing as he has no priors and it's a sentence of less than 2 years, he's probably not going to serve any time. That being said, this is pretty troublesome. Very troublesome.
You never want to see something like this. It seems like a pretty horrible incident. And you don't ever really want to defend anyone that's accused of something like this.
Well, the club did in the 3-point statement it released on Friday after he got out of the courthouse. They condemned domestic violence in all its forms, as they should have.
Correct.
And I think that there's still stuff we don't know about this. He's probably going to avoid any jail time, which is good news, of course. But this is not okay. That if he indeed did this, and maybe it's going to result in his exit. I don't think that if he did this, the club can hold on to someone like that.
That's right, and especially if it is as bad as it has been somewhat made out to be. I guess the best case scenario is that he learns from it and grows as a person and never does anything like it again. But it's not acceptable to do things like that.
Like, he's 20 years old. He's playing for one of the biggest clubs on earth, and it's a lot to handle. That being said, you can never do this. This is never acceptable. It's never right. And I don't think I'm overstepping my bounds here, and I don't think I'm assuming either that the club needs to take a pretty serious look at Lucas's future.
That's right, and whether that means letting him go or putting him in some sort of reform or rehabilitation program for something like this, I don't think that would go amiss either.
Yeah, this season just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Oh, man. It was a pretty terrible week altogether.
So, because of that incident, Lucas was not in the squad for Saturday's game. Of course, this broke on Friday, and Atletico played on Saturday. Perfect timing.
Yes, exactly.
But he was
very short of defenders.
Yeah, he was not in the squad. Jose Mas still injured, so Stefan Savic and Diego Godin were the center-back pairing. Atletico won. Kept a clean sheet, which was important. But again, let's bring it to Fernando Torres, all right? El Nino was great, a vintage performance from him. He scored a brace, his first two league goals since the middle of September. The first goal was a bit of a fortunate goal.
Yes, that one was a bit crap.
Because a bit crap. Yes. Always one with the eloquence here on Colts Narrow Chat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job, Rob. But he did win the penalty. He was taken down in the box by one of Leganés' new signings. He's Greek. I can't remember his name. Siovas. That's his name. Yeah, he was cut down in the box, pretty stonewall penalty. Griezmann steps up, takes an absolutely horrible penalty. Like, this is... I guess what I can say about it is he wasn't aiming for power. He was aiming for placement this time. And he went down the middle, which is statistically the best place to put a penalty, but it was so weak that Iago Errarín, Leganés' goalkeeper, went the wrong way and still palmed it away. That's how bad the penalty was.
Yeah.
He still got to it.
Yeah, he's got to be taking off penalties at this point. I mean, you know, if it's just gone wrong a couple times, fair enough. But, you know, he scored two penalties for Atleti, so missed quite a few. So.
But Fernando Torres saved the day. He controlled the rebound, chested it down, slotted home pretty easily. Really not much of anything that Errarín could do, kind of his defense's fault for not getting there in time. And it's 1-0 inside 15 minutes. So that was good.
Yes, indeed.
Goals are good. It was,
I mean, you want your striker to be there to tap in a missed penalty. And, you know, fair enough.
Indeed. You mentioned the penalty. Let's talk about it now. Who should be taking Atletico's penalties?
It's a good question. It's difficult. It depends on who's playing. I'd be tempted to maybe say Gabby would be one of sort of near the top of my list. I mean, I think there's quite a few that I might try out. I mean, you kind of just have to pass it around and see who's best at penalties. It's a hard thing to know who's going to be the best at them.
Yeah, I think
even Godín, honestly.
Yeah, trial and error here. I think that's right. Saul's taken some big pens as well. Some really important pens where he had to keep his nerve against PSV in the Champions League last year against Real Madrid in the final. I think it has to be Gabby, probably, because he's the captain. He has a better penalty record. Griezmann's missed 5 of his last 7. That's terrible. And some of them have mattered.
The ones for the national team as well.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't... His success rate for France is a little better. But, yeah, this is just not really good at all. Missing 5 of 7, like, that's a worse rate than Messi. And Messi isn't very good at penalties, and Griezmann's even worse. So I think he... I know he's the star. I know that he's, you know, the talisman, and everything goes through him in the attack. But he's a liability from the spot. And I think Gabby... Or I would make an argument for Saul, but Gabby is probably the more logical, more experienced choice.
Yeah, and I don't really think it's too much of a knock on Griezmann that he's not great at penalties.
No,
I
mean, he's not. He's great at everything else.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really be upset about it. He's just not a good penalty taker. And then you have, you know, players like Falcao who are great at penalties, but then from open play aren't the greatest. So, you know, it's a catch-22, really, but he shouldn't be taking them anymore. There's many better options.
By the way, Falcao is up to 20 goals this season. I'm so happy for him.
Yes, I know. It's great to see him back at Monaco.
I'm so happy for him after Mourinho tried to ruin him.
Yeah, I mean, really flopped at Chelsea and United, but to see him get back into it, and especially after all of his injury problems, it's quite good to see.
Yeah, at any rate, yeah, so Torres slotted home that penalty to make it 1-0, and Lega didn't really respond after that. They worked their way into the game a bit, had a few more like half chances. I think it was Alexander Szymanowski toward the end of the first half who hit side netting from a pretty tight angle. That was the closest they got in the first half. That being said,
they had a lot of really small chances throughout the game.
That being said, would you argue that is Atletico's defense doing its job, or just Leganés being constipated in attack?
I mean, I think it's quite a good sign when your defense is limiting teams to pretty poor or not great chances. So overall, I always think it's a good thing, but you want to concede as little shots as possible. And Leganés had quite a few.
Yeah, they outshot Atletico in this game, 15-12, but only 2 of those were on target.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'll be interested to see how the defense looks going forward. We've had a couple false nones with this so far this season, so I don't want to get too jumpy on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Atletico's league form has been so erratic that you kind of have to take this on a case-by-case basis. You kind of have to take every game in a vacuum, every game by itself. Because we've tried to make those kind of sweeping statements before on this program, and they haven't really come off.
That's very true.
You have to kind of take Atleti's league form case by case. And in this case, it was pretty good. I mean, I don't think Savage was very good in this game. He was all right. Godin was fantastic, I thought. And I put a column up on Into the Calderon before the game Saturday, and I'm of the belief that the biggest positional problem at Atletico isn't at striker, it's at center back. Godin has been awesome this year, but not as awesome as in years past, and I think a part of that is because he hasn't had a consistent partner all season. I mean, Savage is his most consistent partner, and Savage has been a train wreck for 3 months.
I would absolutely agree with that. A huge part of the functioning of a defense properly is how good the partnership is, and it's been sort of, I guess the hope would be that he and Jose Ma would have advanced a bit together in terms of their partnership, but it hasn't really gone that way either. But Jose Ma is still young, so that's sort of a different situation.
Yeah, he's still young and he's hurt, and Lucas is the fourth option, and Lucas has personal issues now, so that's something that Atletico will have to look to fortify, I think, because Godin isn't going to be this good forever. I mean, he's only 30, and he could theoretically still be a great elite center back for another 5 years or so. But
yes,
even he suffered a little bit this season because his partner of choice, Savage, has not been very good, and he hasn't had a reliable partner when Savage hasn't played. So it's a difficult situation, but in this game, in this particular situation, it worked. I thought he was great. I thought Atleti really limited dangerous chances for Leganés. It was much better than, definitely, compared to the Alaves game, definitely much better than that.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
At halftime, Simeone took off Saúl and put on Angel Correa, which is something that he should have done on Wednesday in the Copa del Rey, but we all learned from our mistakes. It's all right, Cholo.
Hopefully he'll get a run out on Wednesday.
Oh god, he'll have to. So Correa came on and he was great. He set up Torres' second goal, which was a historic goal for him and the club. Griezmann played a short ball to Correa, and then Correa slipped Torres through. Ararin came out to meet him, and Torres did the trademark chip over the goalkeeper and into the net to make it 2-0. It was his 100th league goal for the club and the 4,500th goal in the club's history in La Liga.
It was a really lovely goal, too. Classic Fernando Torres.
Something he's done for many, many years.
That, really.
And it shows he has the confidence to pull that off. He still pulls that goal out of the hat every now and then, pulls that rabbit out of the hat every now and then. It shows that he was feeling it. He was in a rhythm.
Yeah, and the shot of Correa jumping into his arms is pretty wonderful.
Yeah, that was a fantastic shot. It's his 114th goal in all competitions for Atletico, which is now tied for sixth in the club's history. So, just furthering his legend, a legend that doesn't really need to be furthered, but there you go.
And he's a fairly decent squad player to have around. I mean, he scored against Sporting Gijón and now Leganés, two not so great teams, but still, as a backup striker, he is certainly one of the better ones you could have.
Yeah, and he nearly had a third in stoppage time when Correa should have squared the ball to him. He was all alone right in front of goal, and Correa just chose to dribble through a few guys and then fluff the chance.
Right.
He could have had a hat trick.
Yeah, that wasn't so good, but no.
But all in all, he finished with the brace. Atletico finished with a 2-0 win. Is this the start of the revitalization, another revitalization of Fernando Torres? It was around this time last season, if you'll recall, that Torres effectively became first choice next to Griezmann. And he ended up with 11 league goals, scored a big goal in the Champions League quarterfinal, started the final, was very consistent the final few months of the season. Are we seeing that again, do you think?
I certainly hope so. Needs to be hitting form at this point of the season. I think he and Griezmann actually work fairly decently well together. I'll be interested to see if that's something that they carry on with going forward.
Yeah, I think Griezmann and Torres do work together well. It's actually the partnership that Griezmann has been involved in most, which is kind of weird to say because he's played with Mandzukic, he's played with Vieto, he's played with Correa, Jackson, he's played with all those guys, but Torres is the one he's played with the most, and they actually do have pretty good chemistry. And yeah, you're right.
It sort of makes sense. Physically, they're quite different, so they're somewhat compatible.
Yeah, Torres is taller. He's taller. He's supposed to be the better finisher of the two. They do offer. I think their different qualities complement each other, which is important to have in any strike partnership.
Absolutely, especially in the system that had Letty play with the 4-4-2.
Yeah, so they complement each other, I think, better than any other pair. I think Griezmann and Correa are two alike in a way. Yeah. Griezmann, just like Griezmann and Vieto, were two alike. That partnership didn't work because they were pretty similar players.
That's right, yeah. Correa and Griezmann are both quite slight, very quick players, and together, you know, you have two willing runners, but not someone to necessarily hold the ball up.
Yeah, so if Torres is good, again, not trying to think too far ahead because there's still a lot of season to be played, but if Torres truly comes good from this point on, then it opens up a lot more possibilities for Atletico, because Torres and Griezmann is a good partnership. Torres and Correa is a great partnership. That started coming to light last season. Yeah, in this game, too. And just another more proof of it. It definitely alters the options Atletico have in attack and makes them a bit more dangerous going forward. That's if he is back. If Torres is not back, then all this is moot and, you know, we're screwed. But if he is back, then I think it could be good again. And it was around this time last year, I'm just saying. And Barcelona are coming up, I'm just saying.
Well, and I mean, given his career, it's hard to say that Fernando Torres isn't a quality player, even if he isn't what he once was, specifically at old Atleti and at Liverpool. But, you know, if he can turn it around here, I would back him to do it.
Yeah.
And he certainly has the quality to.
Yeah, and I was going to make another point on this, but I forgot it. Hold on. Shit, it's gone.
I'm holding.
But yeah, I think you're right. And it's wait and see mode. No, I know what it was. You mentioned that, you know, he's a very valuable forward to have, a squad forward to have against teams like Sporting, like I guess the teams he's scored braces against. I think that's a pretty good point. And as Atletico try to nail down fourth or even third, as Sevilla have dropped points in back-to-back weeks, Torres is going to be pretty important against some of the weaker teams like the Deportivos, the Osasunas, the Granadas. Atleti play them all again this season, and he's going to be pretty important in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, having a player that does a lot against the so-called smaller teams that can score and make things happen is extremely valuable.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be starting and scoring in all the big games. Like, he doesn't need to be doing that in a Madrid derby anymore.
Right, or in the Champions League.
If he can contribute against the smaller teams, then 3 points are 3 points. And Atleti are going to need all the points they can get as they try to get back into the Champions League for next season.
Well, and given his relationship with the club, you can't really imagine him, you know, begging to leave. And
I would imagine
he'd be content with being a bench player, someone used in rotation mostly.
No, he took a big wage cut to come back. So, you know, I really think he'd be fine with anything. And so far, he has been.
Yeah, and I would imagine he'd be content staying at the club until he retires, you know, unless some Chinese team comes in for it, but that's just...
Yeah. There was the Galatasaray rumor last year, which was interesting. I think there's been MLS stuff too, maybe?
Sure, you know, I can see that happening, but, I think that if Atleti want him to stay, I think he'd probably be content with staying, even if it is in a reduced role.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right, so he was mattress maker of the match, unanimous.
Deservedly so.
And yeah, Atleti maintain fourth position on 39 points, 1 point ahead of Sociedad, 4 ahead of Villarreal. So 3 points, again, 3 points are 3 points, and every win matters.
clean sheets are always good.
Clean sheets as well. Still the second best defense in the division.
Yep, looking very good. Have the better goal difference than Sevilla as well, and the two teams below them. So looking good.
Yeah, the Sevilla and Sociedad games later this season are going to be very big. Those Absolutely. Are going to be really, really important games to try to even up the head-to-head advantage that
Yep.
Sevilla and Sociedad have over Atletico.
Yeah, and Sociedad have conceded a ton of goals. So if they even up that head-to-head record, then that could be huge.
Yeah, because Sociedad only have a +4 goal difference. Sevilla have +15, Atletico are +20 right now.
Yeah, and Atleti don't concede a whole lot. And my God, 30 goals conceded by Real Sociedad is insane.
They've had a few clunkers this season. The 4-0 at home, they gave up to Sevilla. They gave up 5 to Depor, okay?
Yeah, like, yeah. Depor aren't so good.
No, they're not. anything else from this one?
Not a whole lot. It was a good bounce back after a fairly poor week.
I would agree. And after this, on to Barcelona. Copa del Rey action on Tuesday, Rob. It is the second leg of the Copa del Rey semifinal at Camp Nou. You excited?
I'm scared.
I'm not excited.
Does that count?
Yeah. Barcelona have recovered Busquets and Iniesta, so that's great news. Not.
And Luis Suarez was on the bench this weekend.
Yeah, Suarez got the entire game off. Messi came off after an hour. So, they're rested and prepared, and they're going to be at home.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be taking this one fairly seriously, as you would imagine. And Atleti need 2 goals, so...
Yeah, what is the best-case scenario for this game? How are Atletico going to engineer this comeback?
I think the best case scenario would be a 2-1 win, because then they'd go through on away goals. So, and I could see that happening, because I can't ever really imagine a game with that front three of Barcelona where they don't score, to be honest with you.
I mean, it happened in the Champions League last year.
Yeah, but they're so good, and given they've been rested up, I don't know. It's going to be an extremely tough game.
Yeah, I honestly am going to be a pessimist about this, just like I was last year. I don't really see how Atletico are going to pull this one off. This isn't at the Calderon. It's going to be at Camp Nou. I don't have any hope of a clean sheet. I think the best hope has got to be to win 2-1, force extra time, and go from there. Try to win an extra time. Don't go to penalties. Don't go to penalties. That doesn't end well.
Yeah, let's not do that.
No, let's not do that. But it's going to be a very tough game. Barcelona's midfield is going to be fully recharged, regenerated. And Atletico didn't rotate a whole lot. And they made a couple changes from the first leg at the weekend. Gaetan started... Carrasco was on the bench. Gaetan and Carrasco are both going to be starting on Tuesday, it appears, along with Griezmann and Torres. Very offensive.
There's not a lot of room to rotate at all in the squad. I mean, it's so thin.
Yeah, that means Gamero on the bench again. It seems like Simeone is losing faith in Gamero, which, that's how this record's playing out this year. Gamero's got 1-11, 1-12, I think. And he didn't play at all on Saturday.
And recouping anywhere like the fee they paid for him is going to be ridiculously challenging.
They paid $37 million for him. That was awesome.
They're not going to get anywhere close. Please, Chinese clubs.
So Gamero seems to be on the outside looking in. Correa better play on Tuesday. And I think it's set up to where he is going to play on Tuesday. He should get... hopefully the entire second half. He did score at Camp Nou earlier this season in that 1-1 draw in the league back in September. Do you think he's set up to make an impact again on Tuesday?
I mean, he's looked good since the second half of the season started. I don't know really what more he can do to get into the starting 11 more consistently.
Well, it's kind of good that he's not. His best role is still as a super sub.
Yeah, but I'd like for him, given he's such a young player, I'd like for him to continue to get some experience starting out with the team and playing, so that's not a problem going forward.
Yeah, that's fair. But at any rate, it's going to be, and Gabby is suspended as well, so it's going to be a pretty open game, which is probably going to favor Barcelona. Atleti are going to look to hit on the counter. They're going to be playing with a lot of pace on the counter. The midfield is set up to be Gaetan and Carrasco on the wings with Koke and Saul in the middle. So it's going to be open, and there's going to be chances both ways.
Yeah, those two in the middle, that double pivot is going to have to be extremely disciplined if they're going to get anything out of this.
Yeah, and I think they both can be. I think Koke certainly can be. Saul, it's kind of hit and miss. Depends on which side of midfield and he's going to be playing on and where he's going to be drifting. But I think it can work, but it's important to have Gabby out there for these big games because he does something that no other midfielder in the squad really does.
Right, and he's the captain of the club, which is, very important to have out on the field.
Yeah, that's important. Simeone confirmed today that Jose Ma is out. He's still out recovering from his adductor injury. So he will not be available for selection. So it'll be Godin and Savic again at center back. Hoping for a better game from Savic. He's going to need one because Luis Suarez destroyed him in the first leg on the way to his solo goal. He just destroyed him. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, they're going to be having to fight a lot of fires in this game, I would anticipate.
Yeah, Barcelona are going to score. I think that's a pretty safe bet to make. It's just a matter of how many Atleti are going to score.
That's right.
If they can get two, then 2-1 is not out of the question. I don't think 2-1 is out of the question. That would be great. Anything can happen in extra time and penalties. Anything can happen. Anything.
Yeah. Well, let's hope Griezmann maybe was taken off before that happens. Yeah. If it does come to pass.
Or he's not shooting first.
Yeah, we're fifth.
All right, what would your scoreline prediction be for this game then?
Well, I got close with the first game. I did say 2-1.
Well, you did say 2-1. You did. And I said goalless draw, which was very wrong.
Yeah, I probably should have gone with Barcelona. I try to generally be optimistic with these predictions, but I don't think I can do it for this one. I think I'm going to go for 2-0 to Barcelona.
I'm going to back both teams to score. I think Atleti are going to get one. I'm not sure they're going to get two. I'm kind of wavering between 1-1 or 2-1 to Barca. I'll be somewhat positive. I'll go 1-1.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, so I'm picking another draw, which means Barcelona will go through on aggregate 3-2, and will face either Celta Vigo or Alaves. And Alaves were right pissed off when Celta's game got postponed. They actually wrote, they actually put out a statement on Twitter demanding that that their game, you saw this, right? That their game be postponed as well, so they could have the amount of time to prepare.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I wouldn't. Both those teams are quite evenly matched. I've been impressed by both of them this season, so that'll be a fun match to see what happens.
Yeah, this statement was great too. Postponed games really bring out the best in football clubs. Yeah, they asked for their cup semi to be delayed as Celta Vigo and Real Madrid was postponed, but it was not. So Celta are going to be fresher. That's just how that goes. Alaves are going to be at home though, and it was goalless after the first leg.
Yeah, and they're an extremely solid team, Alaves. I've really been very impressed with them this season, and they could easily go through.
I don't think they've ever been to the final. Celta have been three times. Neither club has ever won the Copa. Let's predict that one as well. What would you predict for Alaves and Celta?
Let's see. It was 0-0 in the first game, so I think I might go for 2-1 to Alaves.
I'm going to guess 1-1 again, and Celta are going to get the away goal, and that's going to put them through to the final. It'll be tough on Alves. It'll probably be controversial. Someone will get angry. Things will be thrown.
Chaos Wonsu.
Best will score.
Yeah. Mandita.
that is for sure.
Mandita will be, you know, burned down in flames. It'll be crazy.
Well, regardless, whoever comes out of this Barcelona Atleti tie will likely win the trophy.
Well, you know, that's actually interesting because Celta and Alaves have both beaten Barcelona this season.
And haven't been too bad against Atleti either. So.
Well, Celta were. Celta were trash against Atleti. But Alaves, two draws. So, yeah, interesting times ahead, and we will know later this week. We will know, when's this, the other one's Wednesday, right? We'll know on Wednesday night.
That's right, yeah. Oh, yeah, and the other game's tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll know Wednesday night what the Copa del Rey final is going to be in 3.5 months.
Woohoo, and then, and then we have Champions League sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's coming up soon, and then Barcelona again after that.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be really sick of seeing those guys.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah, I already am. All right, Rob, what else we got here?
Let's see. Has anything else crazy happened this week?
not yet.
I don't believe so. I mean, we've talked about Hernandez as much as we dare, so.
Yeah, as much as I really want to.
Yeah.
All right, well, good. That's awesome. Thus concludes this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. But before we go, I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker.
Pleased to be on, as always. Thank you.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at Trappin. That is TRAUPPIN. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, your host, at JB Barron. That's JBBEREN. Follow the blog on Twitter at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook. And as far as Colts Narrow Chat goes, you can listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find all new and archived episodes on all of those platforms. Make sure to leave a review and a rating on iTunes. It really helps us out here. And leave some comments on our posts on the blog. Love interacting with you guys and want to hear what you have to say about the current goings-on, of which there are many, at Atletico. So, yeah, get in touch.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, that'll do it. Thus concludes the sign-off message, and now that concludes Colts Narrow Chat. Thank you for listening. As ever, we'll catch you next time. Adios.